KCO, 1230 AM, W255DN, Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Federal Reserve is keeping its main interest rate steady, but indicated cuts will come this year. CBS's Jill Schlesinger.
When you hear the Fed say no change, we can afford to be patient, I think this is that extra uncertainty around what's the tariff situation going to mean for the economy.
President Trump spoke to Ukraine's president today. There weren't a lot of details released, but analyst Steven Sistanovich of the Council of Foreign Relations believes that's telling.
Unfortunately, both the call to Putin yesterday and the call to Zelensky today make clear that, you know, their interests, their requests and needs are not very much aligned.
Israel has resumed ground operations in Gaza. Linda Gradstein reports.
The families of these hostages are very upset about these latest developments and say that the government is basically condemning those who are still alive to be killed in the Hamas tunnels.
The Dow is up 383 points. The CBS News Brief. I'm Cammie McCormick.
I'm Brittany Merlot with WXCO News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WXCO website at BullFallsRadio.com. For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. The identity of skeletal remains found in the town of Leon in Washera County last week has been determined. The remains were identified with the help of the Washera County Examiner's Office and the Wisconsin Department of Justice's Division of Criminal Investigation. The Washera County Sheriff says the identity will be released to the public at a later date. A 34-year-old man is dead after a one-vehicle crash in Taylor County. On Monday morning, a little before 9:30, a 911 call reported the crash on Almond Avenue in the town of Medford. The caller reported one unconscious man in the vehicle. First responders found a white Chevy Traverse SUV with extensive damage in the eastbound lane of the road. The male driver was still seatbelted into the vehicle and dead. The driver was identified as 34-year-old Rudy Rene Mendoza Carenza of Medford. It appears speed was a factor contributing to the crash. And drive slow today. Whiteout conditions are likely and so are some power outages, especially as the heavy snow piles up on tree limbs and power lines. Shovel in shifts and take breaks while clearing the snow. This heavy and slushy snow is called heart attack snow from overexertion and cold temperatures causing sudden cardiac arrest. And Air Wisconsin is getting sued by the feds for a troubled flight into Milwaukee. Stuart J. Wannels has more.
The FAA has taken Air Wisconsin to court, accusing the Appleton-based airline of withholding information about a hard landing incident. It's also alleged they ignored a subpoena request. The lawsuit follows an emergency landing in Milwaukee by an Air Wisconsin-operated flight. The FAA filing says it could have been due to pilot error, despite initial reports of landing gear problems.
And it's March Madness in Milwaukee. This weekend, the Pfizer Forum hosts first and second round games in the NCAA tournament. The schedule has open practices on Thursday and games on Friday and Saturday. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
The Packers add a receiver from the Chiefs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers picking up a wide receiver and returner in free agency. He's Mecole Hardman, who earned three Super Bowl rings with the Kansas City Chiefs. Hardman, who turned 27 last week, suffered a knee injury last season. He'll sign a one-year deal with Green Bay. NBA, the Bucks losing last night at Golden State 104-93. Steph Curry sat out for the Warriors. The Bucks have lost five of their last seven games. March Madness underway. The Wisconsin Badgers are arriving in Denver last night for tomorrow afternoon's game against Montana at 12:30.
I think quick turn, go play, right? Don't dwell on, hey, we got to the championship game. We didn't get it done. Now let's go on to next. We get to play in another one. We just focused on a four-team, two-game tournament. We have to win Thursday if you want to get Saturday. You know, as I've always said, all the bad teams are probably waking up about right now on spring break, somewhere with their feet in the sand, and the really good ones are still playing.
That's Wisconsin head coach Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A winter storm warning continues through this evening for snow showers and an additional 1 to 3 inches. A strong breeze with gusts above 30 miles an hour, producing blowing snow. Cloudy overnight, a low in the low 20s. Sunny tomorrow, high upper 30s.
Right now it's 33. Hello there, this is James,
Melissa,
Chad,
and Seth, inviting you to come work with us. Civic Media is looking for a full-time sales professional to work with existing and new broadcast and digital media clients.
We're a fast-growing company that offers competitive wages, benefits, a relaxed working environment that focuses on quality of life, and includes a team of support to reach our shared goals.
Join us in continuing what we have done for 80 years. Be a part of the community, put into the community, celebrate community.
Find out more by contacting Chuck Gennaro at 715-935-8030 or email chuck.gennaro@civicmedia.us. All inquiries are confidential. Civic Media Incorporated is an equal opportunity employer, and we look forward to you joining us.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Maggie Dawn.
Hey, everybody. I'm taking a little time off, but not to worry. We've got a special Women's History Month episode for you. I talk with some of my fabulous female colleagues here at Civic Media. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you for tuning in. You could be a big part, as always. Join us on the lines, talk or text 855-752-4842. I want to thank our buddy Aaron Zommers for producing us yesterday. Jess P.S. back in the seat on the board. Good to see you again, Jess.
Good to see you, Dom.
I'm glad you're back again. And today, it's Wednesday. My co-host for the day, Matt Rothschild, formerly of the Progressive Magazine. A lot of formers here, man. Former executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, current friend of ours and frequent Civic Media contributor and Big Bird fan. Hey, Matt, welcome back.
Oh, it's always great to be with you and Jess on a Wednesday afternoon, even a rainy, snowy Wednesday.
I know, man. It's spring in Wisconsin. Well, almost anyway. That's how we do it around here. Lots to get to, as always, Matt, and I always appreciate you coming around and getting your perspective on these things. And I love it. You've been around a long time. You've been involved and been paying attention to politics for a very long time. And I keep hearing this recurring theme over and over and over and over and over again from Republicans, over and over again, Matt. And let me just throw this one out there. Allison Durr reporting at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. 2 weeks before Wisconsin's Supreme Court election, Schimmel raises Milwaukee vote counting trope. Of course he does. Of course. And just doing the hard work found this, right?
Yes, I did.
So Schimmel goes on right-wing talk radio, and this was a cat here in the state of Wisconsin, who called Tim Walz's young son a blubbering bitch boy. So I like to refer...
Right, just for being proud of his father.
Yes, yes. Which is something, you know, Jay Weber is probably not used to. I'm just saying. So I'm going to call Jay Weber the blubbering bitch boy, and I think I'm going to have to throw Brad Schimmel in here as well. They keep repeating it. They could have fixed it, but they keep wanting to sow doubt or confusion or both to the electorate, and there's only a couple of things that I think that would cause this. Either Brad Schimmel is truly an idiot. I mean, really that dumb that he cannot pick up, I don't know, the most recent paper quoting his own words and learn and understand how the voting works in Milwaukee County. Or he knows how it works and he's lying to everyone. Jesse,
I take door number two.
Yeah, see, I don't know.
Door number three, remove the or. It's hand.
It's hand. Both of them. I know that both can be true. And given how this guy is, he might be that dumb. Let's hear the man in his own words.
Sure.
Get our votes banked. Make this too big to rig so we don't have to worry that at 11:30 in Milwaukee, they're going to find bags of ballots that they forgot to put into the machines like they did in 2018 or in 2024 when Eric Covey, you know, was ahead all night and then all of a sudden Milwaukee County changed that.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. I don't know you if lost. There was fraud there. There's no way for me to know that.
There was no fraud.
There's no way for you to know that. Didn't they do a recount, at least in the during the for the Trump election, from some of the reported met? And it is so frustrating to me that people can still consider this. And anyone that talks about this in these ways, to think that they are a serious candidate for anything. I wouldn't let this guy hold my pen. As the reporting states at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, just after midnight in 2018, more than 47,000 absentee ballots from Milwaukee voters were added to the statewide tally, giving Democrat Tony Evers his first solid lead in the race for governor against the incumbent at the time was Governor Scott Walker. Now, Evers ultimately won, though the time the city reported his absentee ballots prompted criticism from Republicans, including Walker, who said he was blindsided. Blindsided, I tell you, when he learned the city's absentee ballots were still being counted. Now, in the same race as Schimmel's lamenting, Schimmel lost his bid for a second term as Republican Attorney General. And if I recall some of the reporting on this, he was the only incumbent Attorney General to lose in that cycle. So, way to go, Brad. Now, also in November of 24, don't forget the mustache, right? Lost his bid to unseat Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin and claimed he was shocked, I tell you. Now, these people are so shocked and surprised. He was shocked by Milwaukee's reporting of its absentee ballot results early in the morning after the election. More than 6 years after the scuffle over the 2018 absentee ballots, it is widespread knowledge. Is it really, though, Allison? Is it widespread knowledge? Widespread knowledge that the state's most populous city consistently reports its absentee ballots all at once early in the morning after a major election. Now, why would that be, Matt? Is that because of the fraud? You know, all those black people in Milwaukee. Isn't that what you're really saying, Brad Schimmel, Republicans? That's because the sheer number of absentee ballots cast by the city's voters in major elections, coupled with a state law prohibiting clerks from processing absentee ballots before 7 a.m. on election day.
And they could have fixed that. In fact, there was a bill to fix that, to allow the clerks to count the absentee ballots before 7 a.m. the day of the election. But Republicans wouldn't pass it. So now, as has happened not just in Milwaukee, but dozens of other towns and cities, they do a central count of all absentee ballots after they close the doors on the people who've been standing in line till 8 p.m. So you can't count hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of ballots, you know, between 8 o'clock and 8:10 and get the result. It takes a while to count those. That's why in Milwaukee, you get the results at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, or 1 in the morning, or 2 in the morning. It's just standard. It's been audited. It's been recounted dozens of times. And there's nothing wrong there in Milwaukee or in other cities and towns that do central count. And I got to believe Schimmel knows this. I mean, there's no way he can't know it. He can't come out in public and say, these Hovde lost fair and square, or he himself lost fair and square, or dare I say it, Donald Trump lost fair and square sometime.
Oh,
so,
no.
You know, they don't want to admit that.
Easy
admit
now, Matt.
That man needs a support network.
Yes, he does. Widespread knowledge, Matt. Apparently only widespread knowledge if you're not a losing Republican in that particular race. Because I don't remember Donald Trump lamenting the late counting of the absentee ballots in the last election, right? Widespread knowledge. Maybe someone should tell Hovde Scott Walker and wannabe Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Brad Schimmel. To your point, the Republican-controlled Senate last year let a bipartisan bill die. Now, for Brad Schimmel, that means both Republicans and Democrats in the Assembly would have made it possible for clerks to start processing and finish counting the absentee ballots earlier. They let it die. They let it die. And why? Well, because that gives them reason, excuse, ability to shed, cast some shade on the city of Milwaukee. They let it die. They could have done something about it. Oh, but there's a little bit more from the reporting at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Let's see here. They talked about the board. Let's get down. Schimmel, a conservative Waukesha County judge. We know he's running against Susan Crawford. Vote for Susan. I think she knows how the votes are counted in the city of Milwaukee. In a statement, Crawford's spokesman said this: Schimmel is dabbling in conspiracy theories to please his ally, Elon Musk, and it's unbecoming of a judge and candidate for the state's High Court. Of course, referencing Musk and the millions of dollars he put into the both the presidential race. And, of course, he's supporting Schimmel as well.
I'm becoming putting it mildly.
Yeah, come on. They could have fixed it. They keep bringing it up. And I don't know. I know. So it, maybe it's better. Is it better? I'm not sure. Is it better that Brad Schimmel is actually aware of this and is lying to everybody, putting this out there to cast doubt on this election? Is that possible? Or is he just a moron? Does he really not? Is he just actually ignorant of how it happens? I don't know which one is worth, but both of them are disqualifying for him to be certainly on the Wisconsin Supreme Court judge. And Waukesha, you might want to reconsider, you know, who you have on your bench.
I mean, he's just regurgitating this myth, this falsehood, this lie, this blatant lie to please not just Elon Musk, as it said in that article, but Donald Trump himself and all the right wingers in Wisconsin who've been fed this propaganda, you know, for years now. They just need, you know, to get their steady diet of this crap. I mean, it's unbelievable. And Brad Schimmel, I mean, the guy's been a hack since day one. In 2010, when he was district attorney in Walworth County, he gave Scott Jensen, who was the former Republican majority leader in the state assembly, just a slap on the wrist and settled for a misdemeanor when he had been indicted on three felonies.
For the caucus scandals.
Caucus scandal in 2001, when he and his Democratic counterpart, Chuck Quala, they and their staffs were engaging in campaigning in the People's House on our dime, and they got caught red-handed. Both were convicted. Jensen got to appeal his conviction and get a retrial in Waukesha County. And who was the DA there? Brad Schimmel. And Brad Schimmel just, you know, gave no time. Quala, you know, was sentenced to 9 months in jail.
You know, I mean, different outcomes for the same criming. Now, to get Democrat and a Republican. And I would also note, my understanding, Jensen is a, you know, big paid lobbyist. And you can't be a big paid lobbyist if you're a big fat felon. So that was very critical for Jensen to, you know, do this lobbying gig that he has, I think, for, God, maybe it's a school choice. I mean, he's involved. You can Google it, folks. You know where it's at. All the lobbyists are listed somewhere. You can find out who's paying them and what they're advocating for. But that action with, you know, through the moving of, I think, the venue of that, and they put it in Waukesha, and it was Brad Schimmel, and they were able to do that, and he got a misdemeanor. Now he's able to, you know, go on and make that big lobby money. So there you go, folks. This is the guy who wants to be your next Wisconsin Supreme Court justice. This is a guy who's palling around with Trump Jr. and the bad Kirk. Man, not even the good Kirk. You know, Captain Kirk. The bad Kirk. Charlie Kirk. I mean, and he's also said multiple times he is here. We've heard the video. We've heard the audio. I'm here to be a support team for Donald Trump. He needs people like Brad Schimmel on the court. And this is the guy who bragged or complained, I guess depends on how you look at it, about going through knee pads for begging all that money.
He made good use of them. Elon Musk has poured in $12 million at last count, probably more by now.
I don't know if he was begging, Matt. Come back with us, Matt Rothschild, joining me today. Jess P.S. is back on the board. We got some sound. Tim Walz was in Eau Claire as well. And, folks, Tammy Baldwin, our senator from the great state of Wisconsin, she's going around. You know, similar, I guess, to what Bernie Sanders is doing. Some of our representatives, Mark Pocan included, are out there. Now they're pounding the pavement. They're talking to the folks. We're going to get to some of that as well. Also, Julie Bomar, she's the executive director of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. We went and had quite a conversation yesterday about what the federal government is doing to Wisconsin farmers. We're going to get her take as well. Come back with us, 855-752-4842.
Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
This National Ag Week, we salute the men and women of agriculture. Quality Roasting would like to thank everyone involved in farming for their hard work and dedication helping to feed America. With flexible feeding options, Quality Roasting is here to help you explore how high oleic soybeans can fit into your farm strategy and make an impact. Quality Roasting, a local soybean processor since 1991. Call today, 920-775-9279, to sell your soybeans.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Washington State implemented their universal vote-by-mail system in 2013 and built in signature matching for identity verification. A March ruling by the state Supreme Court upholds that rule as constitutional because voters can cure discrepancies. Before the 2022 midterms, a state-commissioned audit found that younger voters, voters of color, and non-English speakers were far more likely to have their ballots rejected, and the rate of rejection varied by county. Two recent lawsuits challenged the signature matching rule, claiming that the lack of handwriting standards and the inconsistent science for signature verification resulted in the rejection of 4,500 Hispanic ballots in the 2020 primary and 36,000 ballots from all voters in the 2022 midterms. In the court's recent opinion, Justice Stephen C. Gonzalez acknowledged those rejections. All too many ballots are not counted because election workers cannot verify the voter's signatures and the voter does not or cannot cure their ballot in time. But the court found no bias, evidence of partisan malfeasance, or that voters were intentionally blocked from voting. It also found counties offered opportunities to cure those ballots. The state's auditor recommended more training for county election officials, outreach to the most affected voter groups to prevent discrepancies, and more valuable advice for any state verifying signatures. We'll have more on that in our next report. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Matt and Air on Air.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-7. Got Matt Rothschild joining me today. Got Just PS on the board. I believe we're having a few phone problems, so folks, be patient. We'll get some engineers, some smarter folks than I working on that, 855-752-4842. Hopefully that will not stop us from interviewing our guest coming up at the bottom of the hour, Julie Bomar, Executive Director from the Wisconsin Farmers Union, on the impact of these administrative changes going on, the tariffs, and what's happening to Wisconsin farmers. We look forward to that conversation. Matt, as mentioned, Tim Walz in Eau Claire, man, we got some sound of that. Want to bring it to you fine folks and just always doing the hard work. Let's start with cut number one about, come on, do something, people. Let's hear what Tim had to say.
I understand what I have is I have a platform and a megaphone, and my goal in doing these town halls is I was hearing that primal scream of, God dang it, do something.
Motley Crue primal scream, baby, that's what I'm talking. God dang it, do something, do something. And I don't
know. At least he was listening, you know, at least he did hear it. Well, I've been wondering, you know, where's Kamala Harris been? I mean, she's got to be hearing this primal scream too. Anyone who knows any Democrat or progressive who's looking at what Donald Trump's doing to our country has got to be hearing this primal scream.
And perhaps we'll get to that in the next hour. The Democratic base is angry. You know, all the Democrats, save one in the House, voted against this continuing resolutions, and the Democrats in the Senate just rolled over and took it. I'm still mad about that. We will get to that, but let's stay on point right now. Tim Walz in Eau Claire. Let's hear cut number two, please.
I don't know, some of you know this on the iPhone. They've got that little stock app. I added Tesla to it to give me a little boost during the day. 225 and dropping. So, and if you own one, we're not blaming you. You can take dental floss and pull the Tesla thing off, you know, and take out, just telling you.
I love that sense of humor, man. That's what you need, man. Poke fun at these guys. Don't let them just torment us to death.
Well, and they don't have a sense of humor whatsoever, so that makes it even more entertaining when it really...
Well, yeah. I mean, when the only humor that you're allowed to have is something that, you know, makes fun of other human beings for innate characteristics.
Oh, yes. Yeah, digging deep. Also, Matt, you mentioned Tammy Baldwin in the midst of a, state-wide tour going out talking to folks. What are you hearing about that?
Yeah, you know, I just love what Tammy Baldwin's doing now and what Mark Pocan's been doing too, going up to Van Orden's district. Tammy was in La Crosse on Monday. This is a hands-off Medicaid tour. She was in La Crosse on Monday. She was in Eau Claire also yesterday. Tomorrow she's going to be in Madison and Racine and then Waukesha on Friday. I mean, she's getting out there, going across the state, meeting with constituents where Republicans are hiding from constituents right now. And she's bringing up this issue. Look, 1.3 million Wisconsinites get some Medicaid help, and Trump and the Republicans in the Congress are going to cut Medicaid, and people are going to get hurt. And she's drawn attention to that, and she's fighting back against that, and that's just what we need.
Wow, 1.3 million Wisconsin citizens on some sort of Medicaid or disability or something, and some, you know, are deriving a benefit from that program. And Tammy Baldwin isn't out there asking folks, are you a Dem or Republican? Because you know what? Doesn't matter. If you're on this program and it gets cut, it won't matter if you're a Democrat or a Republican or a non-voter. You will be impacted by the decisions that this administration is making. And let's remind everyone why we are going through this process. Because Donald Trump wants to give $4.5 trillion in tax cuts to the wealthy. That's why we're doing this. That's why we're banging our head against the wall. That's why Tammy Baldwin's out talking about the impact of the reduction of services and Medicaid to 1.3 million citizens. That's why go ahead.
I want to interrupt here, please. Just because, you know, Tammy made this point herself. She said, we need to show the president and congressional Republicans what cuts to Medicaid would mean to Wisconsinites. Show them that their tax cut for their wealthy friends will be life or death to some Wisconsinites, and show them that we're fighting back. That's our Senator Tammy Baldwin. She's on a hands-off Medicaid tour. She's speaking up here at a time where we need all our elected representatives to speak up, at least those with a conscience. I'm not talking to you,
Van Orden. Well, I mean, and for the policy of at least the directive from House Speaker Mike Johnson is don't have town halls. I mean, really, hey, you know, we got a great, we got all this COVID going around, and what are we going to do? You know, all these, everyone's testing positive. Well, just don't test anymore. It'll be fine. Yeah. Hey, all these people are mad at our town halls. Everyone's mad at us. What should we do? Should we change our policies? Should we change our minds? Should we reevaluate our positions? No, just don't have town halls anymore.
Whisk it under the rug. Bury your head in the sand.
Way to represent the constituents. Oh, and then when they actually do a town hall, and heaven forbid someone get mad at them about the, you know, the various cuts and things that they're saying they're going to do against veterans and farmers and the poor and the elderly. I mean, the only people that I don't know who's going to get a negative impact from the policies of this administration are the very ones that we're going through these quote unquote exercises for. The 1%, the billionaires and the millionaires, man. They're going to be fine, but that's why we're doing. Those folks aren't showing up at the town halls, right? Those folks are scratching the checks and meeting in the smoke-filled back rooms, right? These folks that are showing up, they're not all, you know, hard, lunatic, lefty, whatever you want to call it. These are
outside
folks.
Agitators. That's what he calls
yeah,
them.
Yeah, outside. As they came from outside, inside, because you're in their town. You represent their district. Yeah, they're coming in. They're telling you what they think. And even if they voted for someone else, or even if they didn't vote, hell, even if they voted for you, maybe they should listen. Maybe you should listen, Republicans, when these folks are showing up and telling you how concerned they are. Maybe you should take that under advisement. Maybe you should be more worried about whether or not your constituents were able to, I don't know, feed themselves versus whether or not we need to go through these exercises. So with your vote and the support of your president, you can give tax breaks for billionaires. Folks, come back with us. Julie Bolmar, Executive Director from the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Wisconsin farmers, Wisconsin citizens, Wisconsin's food challenge, they're going to be impacted by this administration. We'll get into it next. 855-752-4842.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlau. After nicotine and alcohol, cannabis is the third most common substance used in the U.S., and it affects safety on the roads. Joanne Krulatz tells us more.
Some form of cannabis consumption is legal in 38 states. 24 states allow recreational use, while 14 states permit medical use only. With the rise in cannabis use, this form of impaired driving has become more common, leading to a heightened risk of crashes, injuries, and fatalities. The AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety conducted two separate but complementary studies to analyze cannabis consumers' thoughts, perceptions, and reasons for driving under the influence. One study used surveys to gain a deeper understanding of cannabis consumers' behavior and perceptions of themselves. 44.1% said they consume cannabis multiple times per day. 57.8% indicated that they drive daily. 84.8% revealed that they drive the same day that they consume cannabis, with 53% saying they consumed an hour or less before driving. They also believe consumption has little effect on driving, with 46.9% believing they either drive the same or a little better. 38.6% also said they would trust messaging about cannabis use and safe driving from cannabis industry groups and cannabis brands and companies.
And as the closely watched Wisconsin Supreme Court election approaches, the Democratic National Committee is expected to announce its earliest ever new election cycle investment. The early move comes as the race between liberal-backed Judge Susan Crawford and conservative-backed Judge Brad Schimel sees record investment, with more than $59 million already spent in the race. The DNC plans to fund phone banks and connect with voters, assist ground operations, and mobilize thousands of volunteers across the state. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. People on social media have been raving about the show Adolescence. They might be onto something, as it is the highest rated show on Netflix for the week of March 10th. The show was discovered by over 24 million viewers between Thursday and Sunday of last week. That's 5 million more viewers than Robert De Niro's Zero Day received, which premiered February 17th. Adolescence almost drew more viewers than a horribly reviewed Chris Pratt Millie Bobby Brown movie, The Electric State, which took in just over 25 million viewers. Regarding episodic shows, the comedy Running Point finished in second place behind Adolescence with just over 9 million viewers. If you're in the mood for some laughs, check it out as Kate Hudson plays an executive who finds herself running an NBA basketball team. So much bingeable color TV to check out, but your time is valuable. So choose wisely, my fellow couch potatoes. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A winter storm warning continues through this evening for snow showers and an additional 1 to 3 inches. A strong breeze with gusts above 30 miles an hour, producing blowing snow. Cloudy overnight, a low in the low 20s. Sunny tomorrow, high upper 30s. Current temp is 30.
Wednesday from 6 till 8 p.m., it's the Big High School Sports Show, presented by K5 Construction on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. I'm Chad Holmes, joining Jeff Gress and myself as we talk high school sports, plus special guests. At the top of the show at 6:06, we'll be joined by Wausau West senior Claire Kalmus, who is getting set to start her final high school season with the Warriors before heading off to the University of Wisconsin. Then at 6:30, it's Merrill High School head boys basketball coach Troy Pieper. We'll talk about the Blue Jays season and also look ahead at the state tournament. It's the Big High School Sports Show, presented by K5 Construction, Wednesday night from 6 till 8 p.m. on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bond.
Coming up on the show, can the Trump administration impeach judges who don't do what they want? Jim Santel will answer those questions and more, plus sports and weather. Do not miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
American dream is killing me. The American dream is killing me.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. It's a talk line. It's a text line. Usually it works. We're working on it right now, but be patient. We appreciate everyone. Matt Rothschild joining me today. Jess P.S. is on the board, and I'm jazzed as hell to introduce to you our next guest. Her name, Julie Bomar. She's the executive director from the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Julie, welcome to the Dom Salvia Show.
Thanks so much for having me.
It is our pleasure. The administration, the federal administration, the Trump administration, making all sorts of changes. And we reported on this quite a bit yesterday. So this is a timely interview. We appreciate you joining us. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is saying that the Trump administration canceled a program that paid Wisconsin farmers to grow food for food pantries. And one of the statistics that stood out to me that I was unaware of and still kind of shocking to me is that more than 617,000 Wisconsin residents are food insecure. 617,000 Wisconsin residents are food insecure. Julie, what's your impression on how this is going to impact not only those 617,000 Wisconsin residents, but the farmers that provide that food to those pantries?
It's going to have devastating effects. The local food purchase assistance program has been in effect for several years now. And, you know, COVID really woke us all up, right, to the problems in the supply chain and how we don't really have access to fresh food. If anything happens, it's a fragile food system. And so there were some monies that were made available at that time. And really what happened is it just helped develop a structure that could provide food insecure people with fresh, nutritious, protein-ridden food that was locally grown by farmers, by their neighbors, and it benefited groups of farmers that don't often benefit from the Farm Bill. And it developed a great infrastructure across the entire state so that smaller farmers could actually participate in the food system in a way that they hadn't before. It's had a hell of an impact, and we're really, really upset that contracts and promises are broken.
Apparently, the USDA Deputy Administrator, Jack Tuckwiller, wrote when they sent a letter canceling this program that this program, quote, no longer effectuates agency priorities. Then I'm wondering,
that's bureaucratic talk for you.
what is the USDA priority then, Julie, if not to assist farmers in at least this kind of way? Because the farmers get all sorts of other assistance, right? This isn't the only assistance that we as taxpayers provide to our farmers for our agriculture and our food supply chain and all that. Why is it that this one is being targeted, in your opinion?
Well, I think that it was focused on farmers that don't often maybe meet the stereotypical definition of farmer in the United States. And so commodity growers, big commodity growers, may often benefit from subsidy programs, from insurance and benefits like that by way of growing commodities. A lot of the smaller growers, which actually are all across Wisconsin, we have a very diversified agricultural landscape. Many of those farmers do not get to benefit in the same ways. They may be a specialty crop grower, and then you don't get subsidies, from the United States government. You may be growing hay, and you don't get subsidies from the United States government, whereas the big guys, the big boys of it all do. They're at least more eligible for it. So this one really targeted those folks that are often left out in the Farm Bill by helping them get into these food systems, these highways, if you will, that literally can distribute food in smaller, more local quantities and qualities.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That is Julie Bomar, the executive director from the Wisconsin Farmers Union. According to the reporting, Julie, the program, 289 Wisconsin farms participated in the program, providing $4.2 million worth of food to more than 250 pantries and schools. So this impacts everybody, regardless of ideological or political leaning. Julie, I'm assuming you have all sorts of political stripes in your organization. How are folks reacting to this?
Well, it's really been interesting to watch all of the federal actions and how they're impacting folks. We have a big tent organization, lots of different kinds of growers. And we did a survey just a few weeks ago to see how the federal decisions were affecting people, and all different kinds of stories came out. And so it kind of depends on what sector you're in and you know, how you've been directly impacted, but the stories are varied, and almost universally there's been negative impact on our members. There are a few who wrote in that they're hopeful that maybe tariffs and things like that will help them in some way, by because they may be a smaller producer and they're hoping that the local folks will have to buy more food from them because the costs are going to go up on imported foods. So, you know, there has been some differences in opinion, but the vast majority of folks that have written in and have showed up at our town halls are saying this negatively impacts them.
Julie, do you know, you have folks, farmers with different political leanings. Do you know any that have expressed little buyer's remorse to you? They voted for Trump and now, holy smokes, he's taking our programs away. He's taking our subsidies away.
You know, I haven't had anybody just come up and say they had buyer's remorse. I mean, certainly farmers are not a monolith. We all know that, right? There are differences of opinion. They may say, I kind of am waiting to see what happens in this area. I don't like what's happening over here. I think it's an overreach. So I think it's not necessarily an easy yes or no, or buyer's remorse or not. But a lot of folks, of course, didn't vote for Trump either. So they didn't go into this with those kinds of expectations.
You know, I drive down 94 between Madison and Milwaukee, and I'm always surprised at these huge Trump signs in the farmers' fields. I'm just scratching my head, you know, what is it that Trump has given these folks that make them so zealous in favor of him? Do you have any clue on that?
Well, I think we've had 4 decades, multiple administrations to demonstrate that the Farm Bill doesn't work for all farmers. And so whether you're Democrat or Republican, you probably have a beef with the way that the federal government is managing helping shape the food system. And so, you know, there's a lot of folks that really believe that big ag and big pharma need to go, and they maybe saw a disruptor that could change and help shake those things loose. I think that certainly is an opinion by some. Others may have a lot of trouble with the regulatory control that we see at the state and the federal level as well. So there's a large factor of reasons that people may choose this. I think one thing that I can say that working in the farm community for a long time, that farmers believe contracts should be honored. And so that one's really, they're not being honored.
Honored. And one of those contracts is to schools. I mean, fresh food for school lunches, those are being cut. And, you know, I thought this was a great program so the kids can have something, you know, fresher than tater tots that are deep fried, you know, when the local farmers bring food to the school. And how many schools are going to be impacted by this cut on this program?
Oh, there's 30 just up in my region in the small few county area. It's going to be massive if you look across the state. And we have close to 300 food pantries that are going to be impacted by the termination of the local food purchase assistance program, close to 300 farmers. It is going to have a big impact. I also happen to sit on a board of directors for a local food bank, and they're very concerned about how they're going to be procuring fresh meat, fresh eggs, and, you know, all those high quality things that they were getting from the program, and especially because they were counting on it. Remember, a lot of the farmers are already planting right now in their greenhouses. They agreed to uphold their end of the bargain, and they're put out the work, they put out the money, and now that's going to be cut. That's what's so irritating, I think, to many, is that it's just a matter of integrity.
So that violation of that contract, of that word that the government gave them, is so galling to them right now, on top of the fact that they're going to have an economic negative impact too.
Absolutely.
Folks are listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That is Julie Bomar, executive director from the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Matt Rothschild joining us today as well. Some of the reporting continuing on this, this Stepping Stones of Dunn County, they use this program to provide 50,000 pounds of food to its clients. And apparently, this pantry feeds more than 11% of Dunn County. I know some of these counties don't have a lot of people, but 11% is a lot of people. That's a big percentage of the population. I don't care how many people are in that county, Julie. And this is all to save, if I'm understanding the math here, is this like a $4-some million program? Is that's what's being cut here?
Yeah, exactly. And it was really run efficiently. How much more efficient can you get than shipping locally, right? And the money stays in the economy. It's not going out to Walmart and then to Arkansas. I mean, this is like literally an economic booster for rural economies as well. So it was run effectively. And I lived in Dunn County for 30 some years. I remember talking to physicians. I did a lot of research on rural poverty in a previous career. There are people who are malnourished, not just like they cannot leave their community to go in to these food pantries. So these pop-up pantries and things that they have in rural Wisconsin are critical for people who cannot afford to even drive into town. And so it is incredibly serious. And I think, you know, most people, regardless of their political affiliation, agree that we should try to keep things efficient and local and do the best that we can for those folks that are literally, malnourished.
Well, and I think it was just brought up, and I want to reiterate it again. This is fresh farm food. You know, these aren't bags of chips. These aren't, you know, processed by big food manufacturing. This is money that's being circulated through the local economy more than once. Right. We hear people about that are hiring some part time help to help, you know, to help them in these endeavors. Well, that also, you know, it creates employment. It creates food security. It creates a secure food supply lines. As you mentioned before, COVID really exposed a lot of these concerns. So as an investment on the dollar, it's hard to think of another program that would have the impact that this program and it's I hate to say $4 million is not a big program, but it's really not, especially when you consider some of the monies that, I don't know, the president of the United States spends when he goes in Air Force One to go golfing, I believe, at about $3.5 million per when he's got to pull out the plane. You know, these efforts are being done, Julie, to effectuate a justification for trillions of dollars in tax cuts. And people can have an opinion whether or not they think that's righteous or just. Are your members and the people in your communities, do they recognize that this is the impetus for all of this? That's why we're doing this, is to justify and pay for tax cuts.
I think that there more work needs to be done on connecting the dots there for sure, Dom. I think that a lot of folks were excited, you know, maybe about more efficient government or wasteful programs being targeted, and they maybe didn't sign up for the kinds of cuts that we're seeing, and they weren't sure where they were going to be targeted. But rural America is going to be hit particularly lopsidedly in all of this. And, people, I think, are starting to put it together.
Do you have a moment to come around on the next segment as well? I want to ask about tariffs and what you saw as the impact currently and perhaps what was done in the past. But while we have just this one segment, appreciate your time. The local politicians in these areas, has there been any discussions? Have they shown up at any of the meetings? Have they, you know, provided any insight, right, left, regardless of their political leanings? Are they involved in the community, and what are their thoughts? Have you heard anything?
We've heard a lot from local elected officials. We did have a town hall that we sponsored a few weeks ago. We offered it open to representatives. We're a nonpartisan organization. We invite everybody. And the only folks to show up were on the Democratic side of the aisle. Although I have seen, signs that GOP representatives are visiting food pantries and food banks. So that's good to see. We were disappointed that they didn't show up.
Folks are listening to the Dom Salvia Show. Come back with us. Julie Bomar, executive director from Wisconsin Farmers Union. Matt Rothschild as well. Jess P.S. working on the board. I want to get into some of the tariff conversations and what you're hearing on the current situation. Plus, I want to get your feedback on how it went the last time Donald Trump started a trade war and how he paid the farmers. Come back with us. 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
The 1849 ban on abortions, which, by the way, what is squat about that now?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is squat about that now?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is squat about that now?
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Folks, we've got to talk about Derek Van Orden. The second-term congressman representing Wisconsin's 3rd District is at it again, dodging public meetings and making all kinds of unhinged comments. As many scramble and struggle to understand the chaos of what's happening in Washington, D.C. and how it's impacting people here in Wisconsin, Van Orden has been as frustrating and disrespectful as ever. In one instance, Van Orden took to social media to berate a veteran who had been fired from his job at the VA by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. And the veteran in question is simply someone who was just reaching out to his congressman, looking for answers. Van Orden's office has also hastily canceled public meetings, and he has made some especially wild accusations about people who have been attending these public events. Congressman Van Orden needs to stop this unhinged madness, and more importantly, be more available and accountable to his constituents.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for listening. You got Matt Rothschild joining me today as a co-host. Jess P.S. is on the board. And Julie Bomar, the executive director from Wisconsin Farmers Union, joining us for one more segment. Julie, thank you for sticking around. Certainly appreciate it. Last time around, when Trump administration first came around, we got into a trade war. And he ended up scratching checks directly to farmers to the tune, I believe, of $16 billion in one time. Another time it was it was almost like $30 billion that was handed out from a New Deal era program under Donald Trump directly to the farmers because of the retaliation that we were getting in the trade wars to, you know, keep them afloat, keep them going. We got to have a food supply, right? So for $30 billion, and this wasn't a loan. I mean, this wasn't, you know, an auto bailout. This was just cash out, and I believe it was during an election. So I have all sorts of issues with that. But I want to get your sense. When we were living through that, how were the farmers reacting to the first round of tariff wars, let's call it?
Well, as an ag organization that serves mainly small and medium-sized farmers, I can tell you that our members felt like the bailout was disproportionately beneficial to the largest growers, and so, and especially commodity growers, soybeans, corn, that kind of thing. Whereas if you look across the entire sector, we're exporting specialty cheeses, cranberries and ginseng. I mean, it is a diversified agriculture system that we operate in. So when only a certain segment of the biggest producers are benefiting from it, you're going to hear foul from, you know, the smaller growers for sure. And we lose markets, right? We just lose markets. If you're a commodity grower as well, you should be concerned about China and Brazil stepping up and taking over those market shares.
That was going to be my next thing. I think ginseng was one of the things that was really hurt. And you know, they went and found other buyers in other countries. And, you know, have we rebounded to your understanding from the, you know, the repercussions of that first trade war when those markets were lost? Have we gotten them back? We got a fraction back? What's your experience been?
I think it's all over the board, actually, Dom. I mean, you see some that have bounced back. Farming is up and down all the time anyway. And so we use subsidies to try to stabilize things more on the demand side of things. You know, when the demand goes down or markets crash, then we just try to fill it in with cash rather than having a more stabilized system where maybe we are monitoring supplies better, like some other countries do. Where we really can try to have a little bit more control on the breaks, if you will, for the hot and the cold of agriculture markets. But nevertheless, it will hurt things. And especially now with our big kerfuffle with Europe, I think those folks are not going to come back very easy. We're doing some permanent damage in our global relationships. And I think they're not going to come back to the table very quickly.
It must be almost impossible for farmers to figure out what to do here. You mentioned it's planting season right now or coming up. You know, our biggest export partners here are, guess what? Canada, Mexico, China, and Europe's got to be right behind that. And so, you know, how much do you grow? You know, are you going to be able to sell all you got? Are your markets going to dry up because of these tariffs? There just must be all these questions swirling around. How do farmers wrestle with that?
I heard some expressed large concerns about the input costs going up in particular. So we get 85% of our potash from Canada. That's essential for our type of soils and growing, you know, having healthy enough soil to grow, especially commodity crops. And so when 85% of the potash market is dependent on a relationship with Canada, yeah, you can bet that people are concerned and they may see, you know, hundreds of percentage increases going up on that. And we can't store enough potash to build ahead for that. We can only hold it in the supply sheds that we have. And so people are very concerned, and that won't hit until later in the growing season. So you bet farmers are concerned. We've heard a lot about that.
Yeah, I just don't know how you plan for all this.
Yeah, how do you plan?
It is very difficult, and you know, being a farmer means you have to have a lot of knowledge about a lot of things, and then above and beyond that, the things you cannot control, they got to fall in line as well in order to, you know, make it profitable. And it's more than just profit, as mentioned. This is, you know, this is feeding the United States. This is feeding the world. This is what we do. You brought up regulation a little bit, and you said we fill the holes with cash. What's the appetite for greater government regulation to kind of level off some of the peaks and valleys that we experience in the industry?
Well, there's some debate going on for sure in farm country about that. I can tell you, I've never met a farmer ever that wants to get they would rather have their profit come from the market, not from the government. That is a universal theme. They want the market to work for them. And so I think that there's different ideas on how to do that, whether you work more on the demand or on the supply side. But I can tell you, a lot of folks are paying directly out of their farm gate profits to pay for exporting and developing relationships overseas. That's called the checkoff system. They actually are required by law to pay for things and for exporting and developing those relationships. And those relationships are being destroyed. So you can bet that your dairy producers and your pork producers are mad about that.
Well, Julie, I don't know if you know this, but I used to work at my neighbor's dairy farm. I tell everybody, hardest work I ever had. Doing work with you. Julie Bohm, our executive director from the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Thank you so much for coming around and edifying our audience. Please do so again. We appreciate it.
Thanks for uplifting those voices. Appreciate it.
All right, folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvi Show. Matt Rothschild, Jess P.S. Come back on the other side. Going to hit some of the national news. John Roberts, what's he's doing? The Fed, they had a meeting today. We'll see what happens there. Plus, updates on the crap show that is going on right now. Stick around, 855-752-4842. Maybe the folds will be fixed by then.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Bosch legacy actor Scott Clace to the show. Then Nightlight pal and Madison film critic Rob Thomas joins the show and gives us some fantastic recommendations. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio. WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump told Ukrainian President Zelensky today that U.S. ownership of Ukrainian power plants could help protect them in the war with Russia. White House spokeswoman Caroline Levitt.
He said that the United States could be very helpful in running those plants with its electricity and utility expertise.
The Justice Department is still battling a federal judge who tried to block the administration from deporting people under the Alien Enemies Act. CBS's Scott McFarland.
The lack of compliance with a court order is a destabilizing thing, and critics of the Trump administration say they are triggering a constitutional crisis in the process.
The Fed kept its key interest rate unchanged today, but Jason Brooks reports it signaled there are cuts on the way.
The market is happy to see that the central bank is still forecasting two rate cuts in 2025. In the Fed's updated projection.
The Fed is watching for higher employment and an uptick in inflation. The Dow up 383 points. CBS News Brief. I'm Cammie McCormick.
I'm Brittany.